Right now, I would say right now, based off college film, that Caleb is a better prospect than Patrick Mahomes was.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Chasing It on the 33rd Team. Trey Wingo here with longtime NFL quarterback Chase Daniel. And Chase, we got to start with quarterbacks. It was the news that finally broke over the weekend. The Chicago Bears trading Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a conditional six-round pick. But let's be honest, it's a six-round pick because... It's a six-round pick. The only way it becomes a fourth-round pick is if Justin Fields plays 51% of the snaps. And unless there's a massive injury to Russell Wilson... That ain't happening. Before I get into a couple of things that I think need to be cleared up by people who are bending themselves into human Gumbies over this Justin Field thing in the most ridiculous manner possible, trying to come up with these vastly wild scenarios when it's really pretty fucking simple, I want to get your take on what you felt about the trade.
I was a little, honestly, indifferent because I knew it was going to happen, but... At the point where they were in the off season, I was like, it probably won't happen soon. So I was literally caught off guard when it went down a couple days ago. And my wife was like, dude, because she knows I cover Justin Fields a lot. I'm a big fan. We talk about him a lot. She's like, did Justin just get traded? I said, there's no way. And I look online, Ian Rapoport and Adam Schefter had it. And I was like, holy hell. And then I saw for a sixth round pick and just a huge head scratcher for me, right? Like you said it, conditional, it could turn into a fourth. If 51% of the snaps are more, I don't see that happening. Russell's a pretty healthy quarterback. Doesn't get injured a lot. He had that thumb issue a couple years back. But it's just interesting to me because it wasn't even on my radar because, as you know, the QB carousel goes round and round and round. There's 20 quarterbacks this year, 20 that have switched teams. Let's talk about backups. Let's talk about starters. Let's talk about everyone. And when I started putting words to a microphone, I couldn't really get to it because I just don't quite understand why they decided to trade Justin now. Because an all-time low value of trade compensation. And I go back to the point, Trey, and we talk about it here all the time. Look, I understand that the Chicago Bears have a really poor history in terms of developing quarterbacks. Go back to even Jay Cutler. And Mitch Trubisky, and who you've traded up for, and Fields.
You can go back to Sid Luckman, okay? Yeah. Outside of a like few years with Jim McMahon, the Bears' quarterback situation has been an epic dumpster fire disaster forever. I understand.
And they've never had a guy throw for 4,000 yards, which is
ever. They're the only team in NFL history.
Which is mind-boggling in today's NFL. And so I understand that, but. Why do you trade away, and this isn't just quarterbacks, but why do teams just give away good football players? Like you're just giving away a good football player. I don't care who you're drafting. Probably going to end up talking Caleb Williams here in a second. Probably going to be the guy, you know, Jaden Daniels, in my opinion, can, but it's probably going to be Caleb. But you have Tyson Bagent and Brett Rypien, who I like. I think he's a good dude. Yeah. I think he's a good locker room guy. But those are your two guys. And I went on ESPN.com to see if they had actually updated the depth chart because I thought it'd be hilarious with all the offseason moves that the Chicago Bears had. Sure enough, Tyson Bagent, number one, he's a starter. Brett Rypien, number two. Yeah, you're going to draft a guy. But my whole point, and it's an overlying theme of free agency, I get it. You're trying to get as much money as possible. But all these trades, you're traded away a top 20 quarterback in the entire world for peanuts. to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who has a room now with Russell Wilson. They're paying him $1.21 million, and Justin Fields has a $3.3 million cash payout. So for $4.5 million, they get Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, and you stuck with Tyson Bagent and Brett Rypien, and you have no idea how or when or how why if the quarterback is going to work out that you draft. You have no You have no reason. You don't know. You don't know.
Thank you. There's a couple of things we need to address right away, okay? One of the prevailing things that's been everywhere is, well, the Bears wanted to do right by Justin, and they gave him a great opportunity to maybe get a long-term situation settled in Pittsburgh. And on one level, I think that's great, and I applaud the Bears for thinking that way. It's also the dumbest possible way for them to think. Let me explain. Because inevitably, when Ryan Poles is going to be decided whether or not to stay in Chicago or get fired, because that's going to happen to everybody, they will not look at his resume and say, did he do right by players he traded away? Was that the most important thing? Or was it the most important thing that we have more wins than effing losses, and for that we need to get all the best players, and to get all the best players we can, we need to maximize the value of everybody we're trading away. This is not a warm and fuzzy business, okay? This is not a feel-good business. This is not a, hey, I'm there for you, you go have a great career somewhere else business. This is a get-the-shit-done business. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. So what the Bears did by trading him away for a sixth-round pick, it ain't a conditional. It's a sixth-round pick. They basically bought at Justin Fields at the highest market they could have and sold him at the lowest. Look, inevitably, quarterbacks will get hurt. Why do we even know the name Tyson Bagent? Because Justin Fields got hurt last year, okay? Justin Fields, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And when you have on your roster a Caleb Williams and a Justin Fields, which you pointed out last week, at a very affordable cost of $28 million combined with the signing bonus that you're going to get for Caleb Williams as the number one overall pick, you then are able to deal from a position of strength. And I've heard people say, well, they didn't want to have any distractions. They didn't want there to be this question of who's getting the one reps and all the stuff with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift and all this. Who the cares? It's a competition. They'll figure it out. You know, like people are, you know, like, well, it was so toxic when Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers were together in Green Bay. Yeah, it was so toxic that they both had Hall of Fame careers. Okay? It was so awful for Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre in that situation that they're both going to the Hall of Fame. It was so unbelievably unbearable that they couldn't handle it because they had this awkward situation that they're both going to end up in the Hall of Fame. Get out of here with that shit. Get out of here with it, okay? The Bears did themselves a disservice by doing a service to Justin Fields. And they did do that. They looked at this in a way, how can we help this kid? And I think on some level, that's great. But in a football level, it makes no damn sense whatsoever, and they're in a worse position because of it.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And as you pointed out, and we pointed out before, like if you wait until training camp or you wait until preseason or you wait until a couple weeks into the season, that sixth rounder becomes maybe a third rounder because teams are in dire needs a quarterback. And so I get it. You are taking care of the kid. And I'm a huge, you know, obviously huge Justin Fields fan, think he can play really well. I think this is a great situation for him. And I do think that at some point this year, I do think he's going to get a shot to play. And he's gonna learn from Arthur Smith. They're gonna run the football. They're gonna have to do some things with Russell and Justin, similar quarterbacks. Russ can still move around in the pocket enough. You saw it last year. He shedded some weight. It's gonna be really interesting to me if Chicago Bears fans say Week 10, Caleb's not playing well, and Russ maybe got hurt, or Justin's playing and balling, and just how it feels to have your quarterback, which you could have had on your roster, now on Pittsburgh Steelers roster. And I don't get it. I understand that, look, Caleb Williams, first of all, doesn't have an agent. And you're probably going to end up drafting Caleb Williams. And there's probably been talk, and even Colin Cowherd said like a couple months ago, like, hey, you know, Caleb's camp reached out to me and we aren't sure if he wants to go to Chicago. I could make an argument, and I will make an argument, that Chicago is probably the better team in the last decade for a number one overall pick to go to, especially at quarterback.
Well, let's just take a look at the quarterback needy teams at the top of the draft. The Bears are number one, the Commanders are number two, and the Patriots are number three. Out of those three teams, as those rosters are presently constructed with offensive skill players, who has the best offensive skill players? It's the Bears by a wide margin, okay? Yeah. They've got DJ Moore. They made the trade for Keenan Allen. Sorry, Justin Herbert. Thanks for coming on the show and telling us how great you thought Justin Herbert was, only to have the organization rip your heart out right before us. Thank you very much. They have Cole Kmet. They have DeAndre Swift. They have another running back. They have more weapons than the Washington Redskins and the New England Patriots, who are bereft of talent in terms of running backs and wide receivers. They have nobody. So, you know, you mentioned Colin, RG3. God bless him, who had an epic 2.5-minute rant today on Twitter, you know, saying that Caleb Williams should pull an Eli Manning and say, you know, I'm not going here, I want to go somewhere else. And then, in an amazing twist of verbal spewage, managed to undermine his own argument with his own words by saying, look, I'm not saying anything about the Bears' weapons. Cole Kmet, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, DeAndre, those guys are phenomenal. Well, wait a minute. If those guys, in your words, are phenomenal, then yeah, you would want to go to a team that has phenomenal players around with which Caleb can begin his career. Like, you just undercut your entire 2-minute rant in one sentence. What are we doing?
I mean, love RG3. Think he's great for clicks. And he's a good dude. Like, I like him. But I you said it, right? Like, you undermine your own argument when you do tell me that you have TJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, Cole Kmet, Keenan Allen, a better offensive line, your defense, by the way, which was not talked about between the
Commanders. Got much better last year.
And
got much
Patriots
better last year.
Since week 10 of 2023. They are allowing 17.1 points per game, first in the NFL. 19 takeaways, second in the NFL. Total yards per game, 310, eighth in the NFL. You have a top five defense that is coming back, okay? And you go out and you get Kevin Byrd. And just I just think that it's...
By the way, let's throw this out here, too. The Commanders' leading sacker from a year ago is on the Bears! They traded him to Chicago, okay? So that's part of this. People are just like coming up with these incredible reasons to justify, from a football perspective, what the Bears did, when if you just look at the facts, they committed football malpractice. They took an asset which had no value and decided to get rid of it when it was at its lowest value instead of hanging on to it, which made all the sense in the world for all the reasons we just said. And you could trade it when it has more value. And the other part of this, which we haven't discussed, is that everyone loves Caleb Williams now, right? They love Caleb Williams. They think he's going to be the greatest thing ever. And I hope he is. For his sake, he says he wants to be iconic. Whatever. Just go play. Remember? But don't say that. Just go freaking play, man. Anthony Richardson was supposed to be the greatest, most freakishly athletic quarterback we've ever seen in the history of the NFL. Dude couldn't finish any of the three games he played. Okay, he played three games last year, didn't finish one of them, out for the season. All right, so everybody thinks they know what they're getting in a quarterback until they draft him. And then they realize, holy shit. Go look at the last couple of quarterback drafts, right? It ain't great. The point being, we can all have these assumptions. We can all have these ideas, but nobody knows anything about what they're actually going to be. All right, Justin Fields, 11th overall pick, traded. Mac Jones, 15th overall pick, traded. Trey Lance, 3rd overall pick, traded. Zach Wilson cannot be traded for anything. He's going to be cut or traded. And Trevor Lawrence was taken number one overall, and he still got some work to do to prove that he is legitimate of that pick. Kenny Pickett, by the way, traded. The only pick taken, the only quarterback taken in the 2022 draft. In fact, go look at all the quarterbacks taken in the 2022 draft. None of them are any good. Okay?
Not great.
So, and we knew that was a bad year. All I'm saying is, I hope that Caleb Williams balls out. I hope he's amazing. I hope he's the first 4,000-yard passer for the Chicago Bears. But nobody can look me in the eye and say it's a certainty. Because I got the receipts. It ain't a certainty. It's almost never a certainty. So what you have done is instead of not only trading away a value at its lowest possible point, you have taken the most important position on your football team, the quarterback, and put it in the hands of an unknown and the two guys you just mentioned. That's not a position of strength. That's not a position of strength. That's a position of weakness.
Yeah, dude. I just don't know. I just think the whole thing, and it's talking season in the NFL.
Yeah.
And so people have to come up with, I don't necessarily say narratives, but people have to come up with things to say for clicks, because clicks are down. And like, I just want you to get back, and the fans out there that are watching, just get back to what really matters, and that's game film, okay, of these guys. And not all, hey, some Twitter troll thinks I think this is the guy, or I think this is the guy, and it gets a million impressions, and it influences people. Let's be real, these people running drafts, and these GMs, and these owners, and these scouts, area scouts, coaches, they do this for a living, and they still mess up NFL quarterback drafts. Like, as you just said, it is no shoe-in that Caleb is going to be the guy. And you're betting on it. You're betting your franchise on it. You're betting your jobs on it if you're Ryan Poles and Eber. Like, all those guys, right? I get it. But at the end of the day, it's just a little bit of a contentious point with people who know football and just are sick and tired of the talk. So I'm glad we got a chance in these 18 minutes of the start of the show to just talk about our feelings, because that's what we do on this show. We talk about our feelings.
Well, I mean, and Kenny Pickett, for example, right? Everyone, when Kenny Pickett was taken by the Steelers, the only quarterback taken in the first round of the 2022 draft, I remember draft night people saying, well, if any, you know, small hands Pickett, all that kind of stuff. If anyone knows Pickett better, it's got to be the Steelers, right? Because he plays in their city. He plays in their backyard. He plays at that stadium. That's where Pittsburgh plays their games. So anybody, if anybody knows the best about Kenny Pickett, it's got to be the Steelers, right? And they knew so much about him that they traded him away after two seasons, okay?
Yeah,
and Kenny, Kenny, here's the other thing for you. Be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. He was upset that he wasn't going to be able to compete for the job for Russell with Russell Wilson. So then he said that he wanted to trade. Fine. You could have stayed in Pittsburgh, where Russell was on a one-year contract. And who knows, if you ball out, whatever, there's all kinds of possibilities. Where's Kenny Pickett now? Where is he? He's in Philadelphia. Behind who? A quarterback that they already committed $255 million in contract to. Okay, so you went from a situation where you were upset with a quarterback that came in with a one-year deal at a minimum of $1 million or whatever it is, right? And now you're sitting behind a $250 million franchise quarterback, and unless things go incredibly awful for a very talented team in Philadelphia that is reloaded again, you're never seeing the field. So,
well, and that offense will be much better with Kellen Moore too. So they're going to be really
exactly.
good. And you're not going to see
exactly.
the field. But my thing is, like, the whole point on Kenny, sure, he's a great dude, but the reports are that Tomlin called him, that they were trading for Russell Wilson, or they were going to sign Russell Wilson.
Right.
He was cool with it. Tomlin calls him back the next day, talks about it, talks it over. You sure you're cool? He's already here. Like, it is what it is. Russell's going to get the first stab in OTAs at the ones. Mm-hmm. And so Kenny got upset that he wasn't going to be the guy to get the one snaps of, you're talking about OTAs here?
Yeah.
And then also the reports, these are reports, came out that the team was a little bit pissed off at him, that he didn't want to dress as the third emergency quarterback late in the season after coming back from an ankle injury, and let Mason Rudolph really make himself $4 million now with the Titans on that 4 or 5 game stretch that he had played awesome. And so that's another point too. If you're Omar Khan, you knew, or you probably didn't know, because I feel like the Steelers have done a complete about face, completely demolished the quarterback room. Now you got Russ, now you got Justin, which I think, honestly, if you're talking about that, like, Justin, it's a good deal for Justin, because Russ is only on a one-year deal, right? So I don't know what's going to happen. You got till May to pick up the fifth year option. I don't, it's a pretty good deal. I don't know what's going to happen. But if you knew you were blowing up the quarterback room, like, why wouldn't you keep Mason Rudolph a little bit closer? Like I don't understand, because you let him walk for $3.8 million. Like, he'd be a perfect third to come in and just understand. So this whole thing is so interesting to me. And it really started, this whole domino started with Kirk Cousins, obviously, right, leaving. And then the next thing to go was Russell Wilson, which we knew Russell Wilson was going to sign for the league minimum and stick it to the Broncos for how they handled this situation last year. And now somehow, some way, the Steelers have gotten way better at the quarterback room, which has been their issue since Big Ben has retired. So it's going to be a great time and great season to watch the Pittsburgh Steelers. They just got to get another weapon. Probably going to draft receiver, in my opinion, in this draft. But, yeah, just crazy. The QB carousel is crazy.
Nothing sums up more of what a crapshoot the draft is than this. We talked about RG3 earlier, right? In 2012, he was the second overall pick of the draft. RG3 has been out of the league for several years now. Several years he's been out of the league. The fourth round selection in 2012 by the same team that drafted RG3 was Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is now the poster child for how to make money and have a very, very long NFL career. And I don't bring this up as a shot to RG3. All I'm saying is the second overall pick out of the league and been that way for a while, the fourth round pick at quarterback by the same team is going strong and looks like he's not stopping anytime soon. Nobody knows anything.
Perfectly hit on the 2021 and the 2022 quarterback draft. The 2022 quarterback draft might go down as one of the worst of all time. However, the one guy standing that looks like the best quarterback in the entire draft class, Brock Purdy. Mystery relevant. We know nothing. Irrelevant.
Exactly. Thank you. I'm glad you put that on there because it makes it even better. It's a whole shooting guess match. That's all it is. Okay. So now let's do some guessing. Listen, we got the 3013 mock draft that's out now, and these are the projected landing spots for these quarterbacks. So let's start with where we started the show for 23 minutes. Caleb Williams, number one in Chicago. I'm sorry, like, Bears forever history aside, I think he's getting into a good spot here because of the things we talked about.
Yeah, I love it. I love the fact that the Bears have the decision to make. Right. And if you look at the draft from top down, I do think the top six quarterbacks, and we'll get to them, but I do think just in general, overarching theme of the draft, those top six quarterbacks, depth wise, in terms of drafting capabilities, you might see four quarterbacks go in the top six of the drafts in the draft. So it's a deep draft class, and it starts off with Caleb Williams. Like, obviously everyone knows about the arm. The accuracy. I was just watching some more film. I just watched his, I like to watch prospects' worst games, and I like to watch prospects' best games. Well, Caleb Williams' worst game was easily the Notre Dame game. He threw three interceptions. Yeah. I think he threw five all year long. And then I go back, and it wasn't even that bad. There were some route recognition issues with some receivers. And I go back and watch the Colorado game, his best game that year, and just thought he played so much better. And look, people say he had a down year this past year, and I would agree, but if you look at the actual offense of USC and you look at the offensive line play, you look at the receiver play, just not great. But he only threw five interceptions. I know there's a fumble issue, but he threw three interceptions in Notre Dame. So love what he has, and obviously everyone's reaching for that Patrick Mahomes-style player. I would say right now, based off college film, that Caleb is a better prospect than Patrick Mahomes was. And he has that issue. Oh, yeah, if you go and look at college, I mean, Mahomes didn't get drafted until 10, and people were coming up for him. But he has, like, a little bit more polished Patrick Mahomes-style escapability to where, I don't know, Trey, like, if he, like, he just, like, purely watching, like, 10 games so far, what's, like, 9 or 10 games, his escapability to his left. A lot of right-handed quarterbacks, they go to their right and can make throws easy. I've never seen a quarterback go to his left and look to throw as much as I've seen Caleb Williams. And just the escapability, the pocket awareness, is excellent. I saw a couple plays in this Colorado game where they're trying to blitz him. They're trying to zero him. He has answers. He's moving up in the pocket. He's moving back in the pocket. He's making throws off kilter. I haven't really seen, though, a lot of just, hey, 1-2-3, ball gone, because that's really not what that offense is.
I
have a hard time figuring out really any college offenses, but especially this USC offense. They run the same play like 15 times in a game, and it's just like, hey, Caleb, if it's not open, just go out there, scramble, like all that stuff. It's good, and I do think the ceiling, that's what people in the Chicago Bears are hoping for. But the one thing that I see for him as a weakness is the hero ball mentality, like always thinking he has to make a play and always thinking he has to hold onto the ball an extra second. That's what caused from all these fumbles. He's got to fix that issue, but he's a clear-cut number one in my book.
All right, so now let's go on to the mock draft. We have Jaden Daniels going 2 to the Washington Commanders. Obviously, they've just made the way for him to be the starter because they traded away Sam Howell, who's going to be backing up Geno Smith in Seattle. Your thoughts on the fit of Jaden Daniels with Washington and all the stuff that Dan Quinn has done, because he's been very busy in free agency.
Yeah, I think the Washington Commanders are one of the teams that won free agency along with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Houston Texans. But you look at those teams, and the Commanders are the team that, in my opinion, had to get better and had to get better quickly. So that's why they go out, they sign some older name free agents. They go out and they get Dan Quinn. They go out and get Cliff Kingsbury, which is my fit for Jaden Daniels. That's why I love it. Okay, LSU, he may have had the second best season of any college player other than Joe Burrow when he had that season when they won the Natty. You just watch. I mean, look, I get it. Jaden's throwing to Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers, which many are thinking could be the number one receiver drafted because of just the pure explosion, the catch radius, the separation, all that stuff. But when you look at Jaden, he's more of a pocket passer than you think. Obviously, he's an extremely gifted athlete running the football, as evidence to like almost 230 yards rushing in the Florida game. He's really a unique combo, though, of the pocket passer and runner. He can sit on his back foot. He can get through progressions. And of all these guys, he probably has the most experience back from his time at ASU of going through progressions and understanding offenses other than Bo Nix, I think, is another good fit. But I just really like the fit there because I imagine Cliff Kingsbury will be able to do some things that maybe Kyler Murray couldn't do in Arizona that Jaden can do, because I think Jaden's a better thrower than Kyler Murray. I don't know about an athlete. He can get out of like harm's way when he's in the pocket. The biggest issue I have with him, though, Trey, is he's a toothpick back there, man. Like, he's real skinny. He takes too many hits. He's got to learn at the next level. You got to slide. You got to get out of bounds. He's like literally a human tackling dummy. So I do like the Jaden Daniels fit with the Washington Commanders.
Okay. The next one I think is interesting because you and I have been talking about this on social media. Drake May going 3 to the New England Patriots. Now, you and I have put together some crumbs that suggest it might be the Minnesota Vikings that find a way to draft Drake May, because his high school quarterback or his high school coach is now the quarterback coach in Minnesota, and that would be one Josh McCown. So keep that in mind when you start hearing rumors of Minnesota maybe moving up to go get Drake May. But the 33rd draft, the 33rd team mock draft has Drake May going to the Patriots. I think out of all the situations, this might be the worst because who is around him? Like, the defense is good. It's been good, but the Patriots' problem has been scoring points. So what are they going to put around Drake May if he goes to New England?
I have no idea. That's, I mean, like,
it's not a great answer.
I don't. And I know I'm supposed to know, but like, they just don't have. And that was the issue last year with Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones, was in New England, you watch the receivers. There was no one that could separate. And the offensive line was okay, but I'd rather have receivers that separate. And then also after Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, I personally think there's a huge drop off. Like in talent, like, and I think Drake is very raw. I think he's got an extremely strong arm. I don't know if the accuracy is there. I don't know if the arm talent, there's a difference between arm strength and arm talent. The dude can whip it. He's country boy. He's like, reminds me of like a bigger or a smaller Phillip Rivers, like really smart on the board, understands it. I think he needs to go to a situation, and maybe it is New England. Maybe it is a situation where Jacoby Brissett is a starter for at least the first four or five games, seeing what he can do. He's played well when he's called upon. And if you do draft a Drake May, you're just going to sit and learn, because I really, really think that that is something that this kid needs. He's got all the tools, but once again, you go and you watch the UNC offense, and I literally just watched the Miami game that they had, and that was his best game. He completed 53.5% of his passes. Just not a lot of completions. Not a lot of answers for cover zero in that game. Throws a really good deep ball. Has the arm strength to get it out there. But I just think there's stuff to be left out there with Drake. I think he can grow into a really good player. I think the Jordan Love plan of attack for him would be better. Even if he were to go up, and even if the Minnesota Vikings were able to get to three, which I don't think they have the ammo to, you have Sam Darnold there. Maybe he sits behind a Sam Darnold. Maybe he sits behind a Jacoby Brissett. I personally don't think he's ready to start right away in the NFL.
Here's the deal, though, and if you're a Patriot fan, you hate this, because we just went through this with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe, and we got the third overall pick, and we're drafting a guy that needs to be developed at three? Yeah. At three? No Patriot fan wants to hear that. They don't want to hear that. Yep. All right, the next guy in the coaching carousel in the draft, mock draft for the 33rd team, is J.J. McCarthy, 5 to the Vikings in a trade. Do you like J.J. McCarthy there? Or, well, obviously, we think it could be Drake May potentially in Minnesota because of the things we talked about. Yeah. But what do you like about J.J. With the Vikings, besides the fact that there's another J.J. there?
Well, you said it. Wait, you and the Eagles, yeah, too. I mean, that's true. Yeah, it's true, yeah, though. Like, there's another J.J. there. He's going to get paid. Jordan Addison. The biggest thing for me is whoever goes to Minnesota, because Minnesota, they are, make no doubt about it, they are going to move up. They are going to trade up for one of their guys, whoever they think is going to be there. And it's Kevin O'Connell, man. And it's Josh McCown and what that offense can do. And I'm very familiar with that offense. It's sort of West Coast. It's sort of not. It's sort of like, do what our quarterback does best. You surround him with weapons. He's in a very stable team. He's in a very stable locker room. That defense has gotten better. That, other than the Bears, might be my favorite fit for a quarterback to go in and have success early. And I think with J.J., he's very inexperienced. But I do think the reason he's climbing up draft boards and he's getting talked about the most is because I do think his ceiling might be a little higher than Drake May. I really do. I've watched some of his films. He runs probably, of all the three guys at the top that we just talked about, the most pro-ready offense. That makes a big difference. That makes a difference from terms of actually huddling. You actually have to huddle, and you actually have to call plays, and you actually have to call cadence. The first three are claps. Like, it's just, that's how it is. That makes a difference. That makes the step to the league a little bit easier. I just, look, he, and people are out there, like, don't...
Oh, people are out there. People are out there.
He only threw the ball like 60 times on third down last year. And so that's ranked like in the bottom half of all FBS schools, all 135 FBS schools. They didn't ask him to do a lot in that offense. So I'm going to be interested to see where he goes with fit, where he goes with the coaching staff. That's going to make a big difference to me.
Yeah. Now, the other things, that those are the only four taken in the mock draft in the first round. Both Michael Penix and Bo Nix not expected to be a first-round selection in the mock draft we put up. Do you think either one of those guys could break into the first round?
I think both of them can.
So you see six.
Do you see six? I could see six. I could see six. Like, I love Bo Nix. Like, I'm watching this Oregon film, and I'm like, yeah, this Oregon film is electric. Like, I was bored watching Drake May's UNC film because he had no weapons. I'm watching Bo Nix go out there, 5-year starter, the most experienced of them all. Yes, 30% of his passes were at or behind the line of scrimmage. I understand that. But I'm out there watching him, and I love his moxie. I love his leadership skills. He's got an arm to make all NFL throws, from hash to sideline, opposite field. These post throws, they're getting up and down. He's making more difficult throws within the pocket, more of a pocket guy, but can create with the athleticism. I'm sitting him and watching him, and I'm saying, wow, I ran this play in the NFL red zone in 2022. Next play, oh my gosh, I ran this sort of play in the Saints. It's a very electric offense, and very, it's got some NFL concepts, some college concepts. He's probably, of all the five, six guys we've talked about, is a guy that has matured the most as a quarterback. So I think teams worry about the ceiling. Has he already hit it? Is there still more of a growth? But I do think, as you know, Trey, like, you look at next year's draft, there's one, maybe two guys. That's it. Like, the top six here are better than those two. So why not take a flyer on them, make them sit early? Teams are always wanting to stockpile quarterbacks. Never know how it'll handle and play out.
Yeah, boy, six would be something. That would be.
I think four are going to go in the first six, though.
Yeah, it's going to be. That's going to make the draft very interesting, I think. And boy, the numbers should be good, because when you have a lot of quarterbacks in play, that's what dictates a draft. That's what dictates a draft being watched well. All right, we've had a bunch of signings. Obviously some big splashes, some really big trades. The Chiefs addressed their wide receiver issue with Hollywood Brown, which I thought was a perfect fit for them. Do you think they get another free agent wide receiver, or do you think they'll go for the draft? Well, they're either going to draft two, at least two. They're going to draft one for sure, because it's a really rich wide receiver draft. But do you think they'll go after another wide receiver somewhere?
I mean, look, Mike Williams to me makes a lot of sense. You already got a speed guy in Hollywood Brown. Go out there, Mike Williams, the injury bug, I get it. But he's that veteran guy. Like, I understand Hollywood's been around, and I know they like speed. I would love to see him go get a Mike Williams. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're probably going to draft at 32. They're going to draft a guy. Like you said, I mean, there could be six receivers go in the first round, and both those Texas guys are who I have my eye on. Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. Right. And I do think, even before, here's what I know. Even before Xavier Worthy ran a 4.21, which is the fastest in NFL Combine history, I know for a fact that in the meetings in the Combine, his agent was talking to multiple teams that said he was a shoe-in to go in the first round. That was before he ran a 4.21 40. So you can imagine going up draft boards, going up like that, the Chiefs might have to jump somebody. He makes all the sense in the world, because what does Brett Veach prioritize more than anything? Speed.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about that too is with the cap management that they have to do, it does make sense if you're the Chiefs to go and try and get a rookie in the first round on a contract, if you really like one. Manipulate the numbers to get you a rookie contract that you can keep around as you continue to try and keep the core of this team together. By the way, LeJarius Sneed, so not much action there. There is a scenario in place now,
I think,
where the Chiefs are going to keep both Sneed and Chris Jones, which is just crazy. And add Hollywood Brown. I mean, that's just chef's kiss for Brett Veach doing what he does better than anybody else. All right, it is March Madness, but I really don't care, because March Madness really has become the NFL. Like, free agent signing is March Madness now in the NFL. But I think there are more people interested in that than the actual tournament these days. Really, I do believe that. But with that in mind, we always see a lot of huge upsets in March Madness. And we always say we want upsets in the college basketball until we get to the Final Four. No, then we want the really good teams. Like, we like the first round, second round, give me the upsets. Sweet 16 on, give me the Blue Bloods. That's the way it is, right? That's just the way it is. So what, in your opinion, because of what we know now, and it's all sort of shaking out, and it's still going to be evolving, what would be the biggest upset for you in the NFL 2024 season based on what we've seen so far through free agency?
The Dallas Cowboys, like, getting everyone fired because they've made zero moves to get better.
Oh, wait, they're all in. Jerry said they're all in.
Yeah. They have yet to address the left tackle. They have yet to address their running back. They need CeeDee Lamb, needs a new contract. Dak Prescott needs a new contract. They have done nothing at all. And it would just be, it's almost like, hey, you win this year or we fire everyone and have to start over again. I feel for you, Dallas fans, but it's the Dallas Cowboys just in general not getting at least to an NFC championship game.
Yeah, like the Dallas Cowboys being competitive, I think this year would be an upset. Because, look, we've talked about this before. I mean, nobody repeats in this division, okay? I think it's been 18 straight seasons since a team repeated, and it took an epic collapse by the Philadelphia Eagles and a decent stand by the Cowboys late in the season for that to flip. But it did flip. Nobody repeats in this division. Since the Eagles did it 4 years in a row in from 1999 to the early 2000s, nobody repeats. So they have that going against them. And as you said, they have endured loss after loss after loss, and they brought back absolutely nothing. Howie Roseman has done an amazing job again in Philadelphia. I think the Cowboys being competitive in 2024 would be one of the biggest upsets by a mile. By a mile.
I agree.
So, once again, we've solved all the NFL's problems. It's very simple. It's just two guys in hats talking about make it easy. So we'll do this. We'll do this again next week, and maybe we'll have another 17-minute segment on Justin Fields. Who knows? We'll see what happens. All right, brother. Talk to you soon.